Hi, and welcome to A Double-Sided Story. I'm Lilia.
I'm Eleanor.
And welcome to our second in-person episode.
Yes, we are recording in person again because it was pretty cool and fun last time and just a little bit easier. High five me, let's prove it. We'll do that every time we record in person.
Woo! Except this time I forgot my microphone, so apologies in advance if the audio is less than good.
No, when is our audio very good? It was good, the episode we recorded with the mic.
Yeah.
Except I kept, like, leaning away from it.
Happens to the best of us.
Also, it's something kind of cool we want to mention. This is our 10th episode since we came back last May. And, yeah, I just think that's something we're celebrating, and our 15th overall. Those are two very nice round numbers. Five is not round, but yeah, it kind of is.
It's a good number.
Yes, yes. A milestone number.
Yeah.
Party. Okay.
Party indeed. Let's see, that's like 15 whole hours of us talking.
Yeah, yeah. And probably 60 hours of editing.
Oh, God.
Like, okay, that sounds like a lot, but I think I'm right.
Yeah. You don't understand how many hours we put into this. I realize mostly it's just our close friends who listen to this, and we do really appreciate that. Hopefully we're getting some new viewership as both of us are, you know, branching out, making more friends, and you know.
We are thankful for every single listener, because we put a lot of work into this, and honestly, every single one of you makes that worthwhile.
Yeah.
So, thank you for joining us the last 10 episodes, and maybe even the 5 before that, if you're a real one.
Although...
OG content consumers.
Yeah. I was going to say, although, who knows what we were even doing in those first 5 episodes.
No, no, we had a lot of guests.
We really did.
Yeah. Like, I think we had a guest all but 1 or 2 episodes.
Yeah, we did. We had a lot of guests.
Yeah. And there's also, I'm not sure you guys know about this, and it may never come to anything, but there is a fully recorded, unedited episode from, like, October 2021 that we never... But also, I did give that a listen just out of curiosity, and it is too choppy for us to really edit it and it be anything. But yeah, that is something that exists. DSS secret episode.
One day when we're rich and famous and going to our Academy Awards.
Yes, yes, yes.
That'll be, I was going to say segue, but that's not quite the segue yet. We're rich and famous going to our Academy Awards, that's going to be just... Our fans will be begging to hear DSS episode.
Anyways.
Now segue onto the Academy Awards. That is our topic for today.
Yes.
We're going to be talking about Academy Awards.
And just award shows in general. You know, the major ones.
Yeah. But I have a question for you as we're starting this topic. If you were to win an Academy Award, I don't want to know what you most would want to win an award for, like, based on, like, you know, press or whatever. What do you think... If you were to get famous for something, win an Academy Award for, what do you think you would have gotten famous for and won an award for?
I honestly think I would get one of the embarrassing awards. Like, I think I would get...
I didn't realize there were embarrassing Academy Awards.
No, not Academy! Wait, do you mean, like, the big ones, like Grammy, Oscar?
Yes!
Oh, okay, because I was thinking, like, Best Fight on MTV Awards or whatever.
No! No, I mean, like, if you were to win an Academy Award, what would it be for?
I have been helping produce my dad's, like, a song he's making with his coworker. I've been helping to produce that, and it's really fun, and I think I'm okay at it. That would be cool. And also Best Directing.
So I called it. So my mom asked me last night. I was telling my mom that you and I were texting, and that we agreed that if we were going to the Academy Awards, we were taking each other as our date for the first Academy Awards we were going to, because, frankly, if I'm going to walk the red carpet, I'm going with my best friend. I don't care, dear my future partner, if I have a partner when I'm going to the Academy Awards, you can suffer, you can go to the next Academy Awards. Too bad.
Yeah. I'm joining you for your first one.
Yeah.
And apparently I'm dressing you, too.
Yes. Yeah. Listen, anyone who knows me knows my sense of style is jeans of different colors, sometimes black, sometimes white, sometimes blue.
She changes it up.
Tank tops. Again, I've switched it up now. I sometimes have different colored tank tops. and then like a sweater, a flannel, or a jacket over that. That is my sense of style. It varies, but like,
okay, you act like mine's that much better. Like, I have a few trademarks. I have the shade button necklace. I have gold hoops.
But, like, you at least, like, have, like, opinions and stuff. Like, you and I will text a lot about, like, different, like, dresses. Uh-huh. And, like, you have, like, opinions about like, fashion when it comes to formal wear.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
I'm opinionated, but my opinions are bad.
I think you are right. Like, I do have definitely a style when it comes to, like, specific events. But, like, right now, I'm dressed very basic because I don't have the energy.
Yeah. No, but I was thinking, I was looking at, say, Vanessa Hudgens from the Oscars weekend. It was a black turtleneck dress.
Yes, I know. It wasn't very Oscars-y, but she was, her accessory was that she was pregnant,
yeah. Lilia. I know her accessory was that she was pregnant, but I was thinking about that idea. There were other dresses that I was thinking about that, where I was like, yeah, that's a really, like, you know, simple, elegant, pretty dress, you know, nicely done, nothing bad about it. I don't, like, dislike it, but I was like, that's a very simple dress. If I'm gonna go to an Academy Awards, I'm saying Academy Awards very vaguely because as someone who wants to go into writing, I don't know whether it'd end up being, like, screenwriting, playwriting, where I would
Emmys,
end up.
Tonys.
Yeah, so, like, somewhere, some Academy Awards, you know. We're manifesting, by the way. That this is what this is. Yes, I don't mean to sound so, like, egotistical. And like, when I'm at the Academy Awards, I am manifesting.
And I have a compliment for you, bestie, because I know how talented you are. If you are going to say Emmys when we are discussing this, prime time, not daytime. You're better than daytime.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. I was going to say, the goal, sadly, our viewers already know we're theater kids. Let's be so real. Mm-hmm. The goal is Tony's. Let's be so honest.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because the thing is, like, okay, we're talking about award show for real now.
Yeah.
I feel like, I don't know, with all of the controversy about, like, racial profiling with the Oscars, and, you know, that plus Milli Vanilli at the Grammys, I think the Tonys are really the only major one that's still credible. Like, that's still reasonably fair.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't have as big of a viewership.
Yeah, Tony's tends to be more of, if you care about theater, you're watching it.
Yeah, the only people that really watch it are those that would be really pissed off if just the popular mainstream one won all of them. Like, yeah. We know about quality, you know?
Yeah.
By the way, the Milli Vanilli thing is, like, one of my favorite things to learn about with the Grammys.
I barely know what that is, so.
Well, you know it's a musical group. Yes. Milli Vanilli is sort of, I don't know, like an R&B. I think they're a duo. They might be more than two. But they had some big hits in the, like, 90s, I think. And they were Grammy nominated, and they won. And then a little while later, they found out that they were not the ones singing the songs.
Ooh.
And they got stripped of their Grammy. They didn't have it. And that was sort of what immediately threw people into the Grammys are rigged.
Hmm. Well, I mean, if they got stripped of the Grammys after it came out that they weren't the ones singing it, how was that the Grammys being rigged?
Because I feel like that is something that the higher-ups at the Grammys should know.
Yeah.
I feel like they did. Mm. Even though I'm pretty sure that's not confirmed, I feel like they did know that that wasn't Milli Vanilli singing. And that's just, like, so wrong.
Fair.
And, like, so many iconic people have done it. So I don't know if I want to, like, fully diss it 100% of the time. But I don't know.
Yeah.
Because you know the singing part of Super Bass?
Yep.
Not Nicki Minaj singing. You know the lesbian from Pitch Perfect?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Huh.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, that doesn't surprise me at all. Because
now that you know it, you can hear it.
Yeah.
And J-Lo didn't sing a lot of her songs. Both of those are pretty public information, but one is significantly more controversial than the other.
Yeah. Okay. If we're going to talk about Oscars this weekend, I think we do need to address. So the Oscars were this weekend. In case you didn't know, in case you've been living under a rock, I ended up watching, I'm going to call this my studying for this podcast. I watched two different hour-long celebrity shows last night. This is my studying for the podcast. Why they were what's on TV counts. I would like to take a moment to talk about, I believe it was it Halle Bailey's Oscar dress? Do I have the right?
Oscars 2024.
Yeah.
Sorry, we're doing some Googling.
Not her Vanity Fair. No, okay. There was someone.
Was it Halle Berry?
Berry. Oh my god, there's too many.
No, no.
How do I spell
Berry? I think it's just like the fruit. I think so. I think so. Is that it?
No. Okay, that is gorgeous.
That though. Is pretty, yeah.
For our viewers, I apologize that we do not have visual aids. Please look up Halle Berry's Oscar dress. That is gorgeous. Like, this looks like, I can't even describe it, but, like, I love the angles in this. Like, the way it flows, like, that is great design. Oh my god. Wait, no. Hold on, wait. I might be dumb.
What was she nominated for?
I don't even know.
Yes. You're just thinking of, okay, that's it. Hailee Steinfeld, we got it.
Hailee Steinfeld, Oscars 2024 dress.
I do like it.
It is gorgeous. I love, like, again, I love the really, like, flowy, I was getting my H names confused. Please forgive me. But I love, like, the really flowy, the teal. Again, I apologize. I'm making you guys do research. So if you want to look up your dress.
You have DSS homework.
You have DSS homework now, guys. Mm-hmm. Sorry. But, like, you know, you see the way it moves? Uh-huh. Like, that. I love dresses with movement.
It's, like, fairy.
Yeah. You know, I love, like, a very, fairy like, princess. Whimsical dress. And I love dresses that have, like, some movement in them. And some of these dresses, this is a controversial take, Ariana Grande's dress. Have you seen it?
No.
I am not a fan.
But I feel like one of the only things award shows are still watched for is the outfits.
Yeah, I love judging the outfits.
Though. Ew.
Yeah.
Strawberry popcorn.
It took her, like, two people. She had to have two handlers for the dress. Because she could barely move in it. And one of my favorite videos of Ariana Grande, do you know the person who does, I believe it's called the Glambot videos? You know, it's like the fast moving slow motion camera.
Yes, 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 I do.
Yes. I love watching those videos.
They're so satisfying.
They always come out so iconic. And mm-hmm. Ariana Grande, I think, has one of the most iconic videos in that with, like, you know, the real, like,
the gray.
Yes. that is one of, like, the best videos with that camera, right? Mm-hmm. And she even said, because she did another one of those videos in this dress, and she even said to the person who records those, I apologize, I'm blanking on his name, she even said to him, she was like, I don't think I'm going to be able to, like, reach that level of iconic again in this dress. And he's like, oh, you'll do fine, kind of thing. And he's like, I don't think this dress is going to be able to match that level of movement. So, like, because that dress doesn't have that movement. The idea, of course, was that she and her Wicked co-star, Cynthia Erivo, were going for their very
I see that.
They were going for the Wicked theming, which I love.
The dress could have been better.
The dress could have been so much better.
Give us sparkles. Give us movement. I don't like motionless dresses unless they're, like, kind of tight.
Yeah. If you're going to go with the puff, if you're going to go with, like, the very bubbly, because she clearly was going for, like, the Glinda bubbly.
Yeah, yeah.
Give us bubbly.
Yes, yes.
It's a stationary
pink
bubble.
Popcorn. It looks so much like popcorn. Okay, and this is coming from someone who does love a good big dress. I don't like when people wear dresses or even, like, full outfits, because, you know, Billy Porter and Lil Nas X wear pretty extravagant big outfits, even if it's not a dress.
Yeah.
I don't like when it looks like it outweighs them, because I know it's hurting. I know it is.
If a dress takes two handlers to help you move,
and you're not in a royal wedding. That's when it's acceptable.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love Cynthia Erivo's dress. Her Wicked dress.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very...
This picture is not in focus, but it's very... Like, that shade of green also is such a... That's not a great picture, but, like, you can kind of see it here. It's such a good shade of green.
Yes, it's gorgeous. I love that kind of green. I love how we said we weren't going to talk outfits.
My bad. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah. I get so into
outfits. It's so much fun and makes me think about journalism.
It does.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. Because all of the celebrity shows were talking about outfits. I think, though, if we're going to talk about Oscar outfits, we need to talk about the best outfit of the Oscars, John Cena's.
I didn't see that. Okay, I actually love him, though. I find him hilarious.
You want to see John Cena? Are you ready? Are you ready to see John Cena's Oscar?
I don't know. Am I?
Oh my god.
That is so incredibly him. Very in character. Was he just holding that all night? Or was it actually, like, strapped? I would assume it actually
It was not strapped on.
Was his butt out?
So, the way they did it, because I'm not going to play the video because we're doing the podcast, right? So, what they did is he was announcing the... For our viewers, sorry, you don't have the visual aid. So, what they did...
You might want it, you might not.
John Cena was announcing the best costuming... Award?
That is so funny! That is so funny! Okay, I love that.
It's so funny.
That is so creative.
So they had him walk on sideways, completely naked, holding the envelope announcing best costuming in front of...
His junk.
Yeah. And he walks on sideways so that he does not at any point flash the audience. And then he gets up to the microphone and he says, costuming is... so important. I can't open this envelope. And then, who is it? This guy.
He has Birkenstocks.
He comes on just wearing Birkenstocks. And then this guy comes on. Jimmy Kimmel comes on and basically says, the nominees for best costuming are, and then while they're reading off the nominees, in the background, this is also really cool, while they're reading off the nominees, the costumes, they have the actual, like, some examples of the costumes come up in the background. While they're reading off the nominees, four costumers come on stage and dress him, like, this really cool draping, like, outfit.
I really like John Cena.
Yeah, like this,
like,
really...
I think he is actually a very credible and funny actor. I'm not sure this choice kind of grosses me out, but I also think it's incredibly iconic.
This is one of the most
I'm almost close to saying the most iconic heterosexual male outfit, or lack thereof. That's also very
so they end cool. So they end up doing, like, this whole draping thing with him.
The toga.
Yeah, thing. And then he can move the envelope, because the envelope was not, like, strapped on or anything. He was
How
just
did he
holding.
Hide his butt?
Like I said, he walked on sideways.
So you saw side cheek.
I mean, the camera didn't, but the audience probably did.
Okay.
I mean, it's John Cena.
What does that mean?
No one was complaining.
Really?
It's John Cena. It's objectively attractive man.
I mean, I think I get it, but I find him so cheesy.
No, I mean, I'm just saying, I was thinking about it. I was actually thinking about this, because I was like, if you get some, not that there's many people in Hollywood who are objectively unattractive, but if you got someone who
doesn't have the Marvel superhero body.
Yeah, if you got someone who was, like, conventionally unattractive, who didn't have, like, you know, this statuesque body.
Or, yeah, not even unattractive, just not dehydrated level muscular.
Then this bit wouldn't have worked as well.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that, because it does work better when, you know, you have, like, the chiseled muscle, like, marble
it
statue.
It is a bold choice, for
it was,
sure.
Yeah, but it was so funny. And anyway, he reads the award. But I also think, you know, it does take away from the award a little bit. I don't know who won.
They usually do bits, though.
I mean, they do bits, but I don't remember who won Best Costume, and I've watched this video many times because I've been showing it to all my friends because this was funny as fuck.
Yeah, but honestly, I don't really... Like, yeah, you're right, it probably did take attention away from the actual winner, but if I were the winner, I would just love to be associated with this bit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I understand if they're a little pissy about it. Like, I think that's perfectly reasonable, but eventually, I think I would come to appreciate it.
I mean, it's probably more attention than costuming normally gets.
Yeah, so exactly.
If it's not that the bit would still work, but if this level of attention was given to, like, Best Picture, because Best Picture, I think, is generally, that's the big one,
yeah.
Yeah. So, like, if this level of attention was taken away from Best Picture, then, yeah, I think there'd be a right to be kind of upset, but also, it's giving more attention to costuming.
Yeah, so, and also, I don't want to make you feel dumb, but what other category would they do this for?
No, that's what I said, not that the bit would work for a different category.
Okay.
That's why I said that, but that's what I'm saying. If this level of attention was being, given to the bit before the award instead of the award.
I do wonder. I hear, okay, when actresses wear something incredibly revealing to one of these shows, like The Met,
mm-hmm.
there's usually a lot of backlash. Like, she's not trying. This is a cop-out. And I don't know how I feel about this being ha-ha funny. Like, I feel like keep the energy.
Well, double standards.
The only good example I can think of is Gaga at the Met a few years ago. You are still laughing at this.
I'm sorry, his face!
and
the Birkenstocks are killing me!
I think the Birkenstocks are too small, too. Look, he's hanging off them.
It's so awful!
But the level of confidence required to do that...
It is, okay, I gotta, close this.
Yeah, I can't keep, it's a little bit...
Okay, yeah.
More of John Cena than I ever wanted to see.
Gaga.
A lot of people did not like this one outfit where she had, a black bikini, basically. I think it might have been 2019. We're still talking outfits. I tried to segue us into culture.
Sorry. Was this Met Gala you said? Or?
Yes, it was the Met. Like, I know that's not what we're talking about, but let's try and get off outfits after this. She did have four outfits, which made it really cool. A lot of people did not like that one. The one she ended on and ended up wearing for most of the night. Because it is just a black... bra, underwear, tights, and crazy boots. Look at those.
Those are so tall.
They're so tall. Maybe she's 5'4".
She's 5'1"?
She looks so... No, look up Gaga next to, bodyguards. It's the funniest thing. We are so terrible at staying on topic. And it's worse when we're in person.
Yeah. To be fair, we're not that far into our episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my god. This is awful. Why is she so short? Why am I taller than Lady Gaga? Oh my god.
Look how little.
She's tiny. She's just itty
bitty. Okay, that's photoshopped.
That one is photoshopped.
That's so funny though.
Okay.
One more.
Yeah. And with that, on to award show culture.
Yes. I actually do sort of enjoy... I don't know, the actual awards part of awards shows, even though a lot of people are very cynical about that now. And while I do understand that, I feel like, are you allergic to fun? You know what I'm saying? I understand that when it's painfully, I hit my finger on my earring.
Her hoops fell out.
Yeah, it did. Only one of them.
Her hoop fell out.
Not my hoop. I understand if it's really obvious rigging and stuff like that. And I get really pissed off when, I guess at the Oscars, one movie totally sweeps. Especially an extreme one like Oppenheimer.
Oh, I haven't actually looked at
who Oppenheimer won 7.
Really?
Seven. Did it win the Big Five? Not many movies have done that.
I haven't actually looked at who won what for the Oscars this year.
Barbie only got one.
Yeah.
And it was Billie Eilish.
Yeah. I know...
Eight, not seven.
My college roommate, she is a film major, or I don't know if she actually is a film major. I believe it's a business entertainment, or it might be her minor. Either way, she's very into film, like, that's one of her things. And that was one of her things that she was really focused on. She, or the Oscars in general, are like, that is her night. She was very emotional over the Oscars. And that was one of, I remember her ranting about that song specifically, What Was I Made For? Again, these are not my opinions, but she was talking about how she thought that song, she was like, it's a good song, I enjoy the song, but that doesn't seem, like, Oscar-worthy when the lyrics are, I'm sad again, don't tell my boyfriend.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, also, a minor scale.
I do wonder if that award is more about the song or about how it fits into the film. And that was perfect.
It was.
It really did work out. Okay, Oppenheimer did not win the Big Five. I was gonna get mad if it won the Big Five.
Can we look up the Oscar winners?
Winers. Oscar winners.
Okay. My computer's at a weird angle, and I have a cover on my keyboard so that you guys aren't getting loud typing noises this whole time, so all of my typos are awful.
Oscar winners.
Yeah. Okay, so Cillian Murphy for Best Actor. One of my friends did rant to me yesterday about how Cillian Murphy looks like a lesbian.
Cillian, I don't even know it. Oh, yeah, my roommate likes him.
Best Picture.
Okay.
Oppenheimer for Best Picture. Honestly valid.
Oppenheimer.
Emma Stone won Best Actress.
I haven't seen that.
Okay, why did I not realize Phineas and Billie Eilish were, like, siblings? I feel like that's something I heard, like...
Also, Phineas was ugly.
What? Hold on, I need a minute, guys.
It was a season... like, one of the, you know, less... Like, season six. So, like, not really. But still... Yeah, you're shook.
I need a minute, guys.
I wish you guys could see this right now.
I need a minute, guys. What?
Why is this so...
Because I love Phineas, like, as, like, this a solo artist.
He can sing. Everyone who went on Glee could sing.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, no. Like, Glee did not hire bad singers.
Even when the ones that, like, didn't go on to sing could carry a tune. Like, Jane Lynch.
Yeah.
Dot Marie Jones.
No, I mean, Jane Lynch is on... does musicals on Broadway now.
Yes, yes, I know. And I think she absolutely can sing. I think she's underused in Glee.
Yeah. Phineas, I feel like I heard that Billie Eilish and Phineas were siblings a while ago, and then I forgot about it, and then I saw that on the news, like, when I was watching one of the, like, the celebrity shows last night, and then I was like, what?
Have you seen Poor Things?
I haven't, but I keep hearing about it. Boy and the Heron, Heron, my roommate, was talking about a lot.
Okay, wait, let me take a look.
Christopher Nolan for Best Director.
Let me take a look at the Big Five. Okay.
Robert Downey Jr., Oppenheimer.
Best Actor, Oppenheimer. Best Picture, Oppenheimer. Best Actress, Poor Things. Best Director, Oppenheimer. And Best Screenplay, Anatomy of a Fall, and American Fiction. Those are the Big Five.
Okay, at least American Fiction won one. Okay, you know what I found so weird about American Fiction?
What?
The fact that I didn't see it.
Can you not, like, watch it?
Yeah, so here's the thing. American Fiction is the kind of movie that absolutely would have appealed to me to go see. And I wanted to go see it, and it came out sometime in November, I believe. Or, like, it might have been, like, early released in November or something like that. And so it was out either Thanksgiving break or winter break movie theater release. I was like, oh, I'll go see it with my dad because it's the kind of movie that both my dad and I would have enjoyed. I really wanted to go see it. My dad really wanted to go see it. My dad and I go see a lot of movies together. And so my dad and I were checking regularly what theaters is it in. It was not in a single theater in 50 miles of here.
Wait, was it a limited release or just
even after
had it been out for a while?
We checked in the limited release,
We checked after the full release. Not in a single theater in 50 miles of here. That's what I find weird about American Fiction. The fact that I didn't see it.
I hope that doesn't become a trend. Like, limited release movies that are really hard to find winning Oscars. Because, like, yes, I love smaller movies getting recognition, but I feel like that's not really fair if you're not going to let people see it.
I find it weird that was a smaller movie, because, like, there were ads for it all the time. You turn on TV, another ad for it.
Uh-huh.
On Hulu, I think it was Hulu, one of, like, my streaming services that does have ads. I say Hulu because that tends to be the streaming service that has a lot of ads. But, like, you know, streaming services that have ads, I'd see ads for it. It wasn't the kind of thing that I wasn't seeing ads for. It was like a, in theaters now, go see it. It wasn't being advertised like a smaller movie. It was being advertised like a blockbuster kind of thing. And yet I couldn't find a way to go see it without driving like an hour and a half.
Oh, that's weird. It'll go up on streaming eventually.
Yeah. Oh my god, Mean Girls is up on streaming and I want to go see it. Because I never got to see that in theaters either, but that was just given the time of year, and yeah, it's hard to go see. Hard to go see stuff while you're in college.
What if you end up at the 100th one? 100th Academy Awards. We were discussing going. It's a little close. It's only 4 years from now.
Well, I mean,
23.
Ew. That would be so cool.
It would be cool, but I don't want to be 23 ever. Listen, I'm holding on to my youth. Anyway,
real is real. Real. Manifest.
Mm-hmm. Do you think we will ever have another Big Five winner?
Has it happened before?
Yes. Yes, it has. I think it's happened 3 times, and I can name 2 of them. Silence of the Lambs, Gone with the Wind, and I don't know the last one. I like movies a lot. Wait, what? Gone with the Wind didn't! What? Okay, it happened One Night, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and The Silence of the Lambs. I could have sworn Gone with the Wind did. I feel like a bad film buff. But anyway, that basically means it hasn't happened in like 30 or 35 years. And with all of the, like, I don't know, art films that are just starting to become popular and just, you know, I feel like that type of thing is getting more split. I do wonder if we will ever have another Big Five winner again.
I also think we're in the era of overproducing movies.
Mm-hmm.
Not in, just overproducing media in general.
Mm-hmm.
I got into a whole discussion with this with one of my, not coworkers, but at my job, there's a lot of, I work at a theater and there's a lot of students who have to do a lot of hours there as part of a class. And so there's a lot of people I see just like once or twice a year who just come in to get hours for part of a class. So it's hard to call them coworkers, but anyway, that was not a necessary explanation. So there's this guy there, and I got into a whole discussion with him about Marvel movies. And I was like, Marvel movies have gotten bad now because you can't keep up with anything.
I think we have talked about this, like, in passing.
Yeah. I promise I'm going somewhere with this, but like, and he's like, that's a bad take, because they're not bad, there's just a lot of them. And I'm like, no, but how can the average person who isn't, like, super committed to the movie, super committed to the comic books,
has a really, really relaxed job.
How can, like, you know, anyone keep up with these movies? But we're at a point where digital media, where marketing, where movie production, where technology is at the point where movies can be mass-produced relatively quickly, where it doesn't take but so long to film, render, etc., a movie, necessarily. Like, should it take longer than it is? Maybe. Especially if we want a good quality movie. Maybe it should take a little longer. Maybe we should spend some time on art, on originality. But that's another discussion.
But also, it should be added that Disney's a huge corporation, and Marvel is a big part of it now.
Yeah.
And so they have more people to just pump these out. And I fully agree with you, it is not a good idea. And oddly enough, Marvel movies don't get as much Academy Award recognition as you'd think.
I'm just using Marvel as the example, because they're viewed as just general, like, you know, they're popcorn movies.
Yeah, fun popcorn movies. Yeah.
But, like, I'm just using that as the example of, it's just,
movies are being made at a pace we've never seen before.
Uh-huh.
And so it's hard to imagine that any one movie is going to be able to sweep like that, because how could it when there's so many of them?
Yes,
now?
Yes, exactly. And that's what I was saying, is like, it's splitting hairs at this point. And also, I think it would be better if Marvel had, even if they did, if they were to continue with the pumping out all this content, not having it all be connected would be a significant better choice. Like, a few that are kind of standalone, and then maybe only one or two that are actually completely ingrained a year.
Yeah.
That, I think that would be significantly better. I loved Miley Cyrus's Grammy outfit. I loved it. It was Tina Turner.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was such a weird turn, because I had pulled up the Grammy list, because if you guys remember, we had, back in our first episode, was it December episode?
It was December.
We had made our predictions for the Grammys. Now, I meant to and forgot to write down what our predictions were. My bad.
We did predict flowers, and we made it our anti-hero, and we made a joke about
Jean Baptiste,
who I don't think did as well as he usually does.
Good.
This round.
I'm a Jean Baptiste hater.
I am not. I'm just so incredibly neutral, and I don't like how much he wins. Because
I'm a hater because I don't like how much he wins. I will hate things. I'm a hater in general. I've been meaning
to check him out. And if and when I do, I will pass on to you if it is actually.
He apparently is decent and wrote the music for Soul, like the Disney movie.
Oh, but Soul was great. Okay. Album of the Year, Midnights.
Called it. Yeah. I feel like we called that one.
Yeah, I think we did. Because what other one would be? Oh, were you expecting a Boy Genius sweep? Because they did.
I wasn't. I don't know. Boy Genius strikes me as too new to.
I know.
Like, they don't feel as established, and yet, I don't, well, this is nominees.
I know, but they won the most out of anybody there.
Huh. Song of the Year. Again, What Was I Made For? Again, this seems strange to me, because, like, as I was saying, I'm sad again. Don't tell my boyfriend.
Well, I think, hold on, I explained this in the last one.
The Song of the Year versus
Record of the Year. I'm pretty sure
Best New Artist going to Victoria Monet.
And I love that. She deserved that.
We were having the debate between Noah Kahan and Ice Spice, but Victoria Monet winning, honestly valid.
The Song of the Year is about the performer.
Okay, yeah.
And Record of the Year is about, you know, the production and the sound.
Yeah.
Jack
Antonoff.
Wait, does that mean Biffle?
Jack Antonoff, who produced many, many different things.
Does that mean? No, it doesn't. Songwriter. Who dat?
Theron Thomas, Songwriter of the Year.
I don't really know.
I don't recognize any of the stuff that he wrote. Oh, one of them, Seven, Jungkook, and Lotto, I actually recognize that because all of my friends at school are K-pop friends. Best pop solo performance, Flowers.
I think that song, it was a good choice, but, like, it is ridiculously simple.
Best pop vocal album, Midnight.
Mm-hmm.
No surprise there. Scrolling past some of these because...
Oh, Kylie Minoguean! I love that.
Padam Padam, yeah, that's a good song. For a pop dance recording, that is a great one.
It's sort of Kylie Minogue's first big hit in a very long time. Like, hit outside of the gay community.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Not strong enough, Boy Genius, for rock performance.
I would not call them rock.
Yeah.
That is a firm alternative.
Yeah.
Firm alternative.
Metallica,
No, they won Best Metal, actually. Just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Metallica won Best Metal.
Best Rock.
Wait! Ghost got nominated for Phantom of the Opera? I didn't even realize Ghost got nominated for a Grammy.
I know. A lot of these aren't as, like, public. Like, of course, you hear about Song of the Year, Record of the Year, Album of the Year. Best Pop Vocal usually makes it pretty far. Best New Artist.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, I will be nominated for
a Grammy.
Not for a Grammy. Or no, let's not rule anything out. Sorry. But, I, you know, I will be nominated for an Academy Award, but I don't think it's going to be a big one, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm a writer. Let's all be real. I'm a writer. Mm-hmm. I'm not the star of the show. That's also what I was thinking about. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be back on, like, the celebrities. We're not going to talk about the looks, but, like, all of, like, the red carpet looks, it's the actors and maybe a few directors, if the like directors. Like, the big ones. Yeah, like, you like had... Like,
Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah.
Like,
you had, Greta Gerwig. Like, I feel like I saw her.
Did she go?
I don't know, maybe. Maybe. I might be wrong about that. Don't quote me on that. There were a lot of names, guys. Don't quote me on anything.
Did she go or not? Oh, okay, yeah, she was there, I think. I can't tell. Yes, it is. Yes, she did.
Yeah. But it's like, you know, they'll take pictures of some of, like, the bigger names.
Well, and Greta Gerwig's a huge deal.
Yeah. Exactly. But, like, no.
She wrote Lady Bird.
Yeah. But it's not like they're gonna... The average screenwriter? You know, there is so many, like, big names at the Oscar, mm-hmm. like... That unless you're, like, you know, the face of the movie, you know, the actors, of course they're gonna get their pictures taken on the red carpet.
Yeah, and... There's, like, again, there's a few big ones. There's Tarantino, there's Greta Gerwig, Guillermo del Toro, who I actually love. He is brilliant.
What is he known for? Sorry.
Stories is Hell in the Dark, The Shape of Water.
Got it.
Yeah, he is...
I'm just not good with, like, name recognition.
And I thought of one more. Jordan Peele.
Yeah.
Jordan Peele is another big one.
Absolutely a name, like, you know, there's, you gotta have a certain amount of name recognition for them to actually, like, care about you on the red carpet, I feel like.
But also, Jordan Peele was famous before he started writing and directing.
Exactly.
And I think he's acted in a few things, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if we're talking about the culture around award shows, I think writers should absolutely get a little more recognition.
But why, not why would they? I say this, you know, obviously we are both writers. Celebrity news shows do what gets them views. What gets them views is taking the pictures of the celebrities everyone cares about and recognizes. Mm-hmm. And what people are going to recognize is, oh my god, I saw her in that movie. I saw her in that show. I saw her in this, that. Oh my god, I loved her in that. Like, I loved him in that. Mm. You're not going to get that same amount of recognition in something else. Or in, like, the coverage of an awards show. They only have so much time to show all of these pictures. Oh. You know, we were looking through a photo album, just trying to, like, judge outfits and stuff. Yeah. Yesterday, there were 180 outfits.
Uh-huh.
You know, we recognize maybe half the names in it.
But I also think that award recognition doesn't correlate with press recognition, because Beyonce just passed him. But do you know who has the second and third most Grammys of all time? Sir Georg Solti. Heard of him?
Nope.
You might have heard of this one. Quincy Jones.
I recognize the name.
He is, like, huge producer. But, like, you don't know them. Like, you know Beyonce.
Yeah.
And this first one I said, Sir Georg Solti, only has one less than Beyonce.
Wow.
And... It's like the amount of press for the writers and the producers doesn't correlate to the amount that some of them get. It doesn't help that Sir Georg Solti is Bulgarian, but I think the English speaking is kind of a big deal, but yeah. Which is a whole other topic that we don't have time for.
Yeah, but I'm also talking about, I am talking about mostly like press coverage, because fame correlates to press coverage.
Yes, I know, but I sort of struggle, and we loop around back to the cynicism around these award shows.
Mm-hmm.
I sort of think that if those are the records, which they are, and most people, even the most cynical, would agree Beyonce is a great artist. She's very talented. She's a legend.
But this ain't Texas.
Okay, I love how she was at number one of the country charts. That was my favorite thing. I was like, yes, Beyonce, country charts. I'm so here for this. But anyways, if we're actually looking at the records and we're saying the Grammys are so rigged,
why, or like fame-based or popularity contests, why do most people not really know who, at least the second place holder, like most people do, at least know of Quincy Jones?
Yeah.
And, you know, John Williams is very famous, and he's on that list somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, and like, he's a huge deal.
Sorry, I didn't actually say that out loud. I said I mouthed the words, "I love John Williams."
Yeah, why'd you mouth that? Not a secret.
I know, I couldn't remember if he'd done anything problematic. That was what that was. That was me trying to, like, has he done anything problematic?
He's been very, very quiet over the course of his career. And he's, like, what, 94 now? Like, he...
I don't...
He can't really...
Just in case he's done anything problematic, I do not support any problematic views of the celebrities we have talked about. This is also a general disclaimer. Of all of the celebrities we have talked about, we do not support and or endorse any problematic views of the celebrities we have mentioned here on this episode. We are simply discussing the celebrities because they are entertaining, and that's what people do.
Well, yeah, and the fact that they, even if they are problematic, I don't really know who that we've mentioned this episode. But if they are, they still did win those awards, and that's what we're talking about.
Yes. Like, thank you. We do not endorse their problematic views. Their views are their own and not ours. Thank you. We do not support their views. This is our own views. Woo!
How do you feel about, speaking of vaguely on this topic, how do you feel about Will Smith not losing his Oscar? This was 2 years ago.
What, after the slap?
Yeah.
Slapping someone does not determine the talent that it took to win an Oscar.
But Milli Vanilli. Oh, that's talent. Yeah. But also... I
was gonna say, you use your talent to win the Grammy, and then if it wasn't your talent, then it's not your Grammy. In parenting, I am generally, I'm not a parent, but parenting,
really?
Sorry, I feel like, gotta give that disclaimer. In parenting, I've always, I'm saying in parenting, I'm studying education right now, mm-hmm. And we talk a lot about the idea that consequences need to be proportional for children, because children can't, especially young children, need to be able to comprehend the idea that this is the, like, direct consequence of mm-hmm. your action.
Mm-hmm. He did get banned from the Academy Awards for, like, 10 years.
Yeah, and that's fair. You incite violence at the Academy Awards, and that's what that is, mm-hmm. inciting violence. You incite violence at the Academy Awards, you are no longer welcome there.
For another 10 years.
For another 10 years. That is fair. However, taking something away that is not directly correlated would be less sensical as a consequence. Obviously, Will Smith is not a young child and can, like, comprehend that, but there is something to be said about, like, proportional responses and logical consequences.
Also, one more thing, and then I have one thing I want to talk about that I think is important. Apparently, no one has ever been stripped of an Oscar. A documentary was stripped of an Oscar because it was nominated in the wrong year, which is hilarious. Do you know how many people those have to go through to get the nomination and no one noticed? That is so funny.
That is... That's really sad.
Okay, actually, it was probably 1 year off, but imagine it's just a bunch of old guys making this decision and they were, like, five off.
That, yeah. Probably, like, just, like, was really close to the cutoff date or something.
Yeah, but still, it's so funny.
But that's gonna hurt, because, like, if it was that close to the cutoff date, by the time they realized it, it was probably too late for the next cutoff date, too. Mm. And, like, you know, by that point, oh, God, that's gotta suck.
Okay, but now it probably has... It's the only thing that's ever done that. So it has recognition for that. It's gotta suck, but, you know.
Yeah.
Well, the last thing I wanted to talk about, how do you feel about, like, children getting nominated and winning? Well, okay, this is still an award show. It's not a big one, but it's kind of... This is one of the worst things that I think an award show has recently done. Do you know what the Razzies are? They are the opposite of the Oscars. They have, like, worst actor, worst actress,
mm-hmm.
worst picture. You know, it's usually pretty funny, and most people, it's all in fun.
Yeah.
They nominated a 12-year-old.
Ooh.
I know. I think that was literally awful.
Yeah, everyone knows child actors are not going to be as well trained as an adult.
Well,
I'm gonna say that, like, obviously there are exceptions, and obviously there, you sometimes watch a child actor and you're like, wow.
Yeah, like Millie Bobby Brown.
Yeah.
She's very good.
But they're, as a general rule, as a general rule, most child actors you watch and you're like, yep, that's a child.
It's a kid, yeah.
Because they're children, and that's the nature of being a child.
And also, it's a child. Yeah. You're not gonna nominate a middle schooler who is already dealing with probably a lot up in the brain.
The self-esteem damage of that. Oh my god.
I know. I know.
It's awful.
This person, I'm pretty sure, was born in 2010. If that slaps it into perspective anymore.
That hurt me.
I know. And that is one of, like, the biggest qualms I have. Because I used to actually really like the Razzies. I thought it was funny. But that just, ugh.
If you're nominating consenting adults who are all, you know, oh yeah, this isn't good fun. Yeah, I knew that was an awful movie I did. Especially if you're nominating, like,
people who don't regularly act and are famous for something else.
Yeah, either people who don't regularly act, like, or, like, people who are going outside their normal, like, bounds of acting, you know, normally comedy, or normally drama actor who was doing a comedy, or, like, a comedy actor who's doing drama.
The,
like,
comedy actors tend to be better at drama than, like, drama actors are at comedy.
Yeah, but, like, you know, someone who was going outside their normal, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, someone who's going outside their normal bounds, and it ended up just being, like, you know, end up flopping, or, like, something, or, like, a horrible movie. Yeah, an adult. Or, like, just a god-awful movie that everyone knew was god-awful. It was made to, like, you know, everyone knew it was a flop. It was...
Don't nominate a 12-year-old! How dumb can you be? How heartless can you be?
That's so awful!
It's so wrong, yeah. But, like, the person who has won the most Razzies ever is Madonna. She's not famous for acting. She's famous for singing.
Yeah.
And she, being Madonna, has... I think embraced every single one. Like, yeah, I did that. I'm still iconic. I'm still Madonna. Bitch, I'm Madonna. Like,
exactly. It's like, you're gonna give it to Madonna. Sure. Like, exactly. That is...
What's funny is I think there are people who have won both a Razzie and an Oscar.
Yeah, exactly. That's the kind of thing I mean. It's like, you gotta give it to the celebrities who are big enough that they... I'm sure, I don't mean to make them sound, like, superhuman. I know that even the biggest celebrities still have insecurities and still deal with real problems and whatnot, but you gotta give it to people who are big enough to recognize that they still have talent and not take that kind of thing to heart and recognize that it is still in good fun. A 12-year-old will never be that person. I don't care if this is the most famous 12-year-old in the world.
They are probably both, they are probably just starting their career.
Yeah.
And they're 12! A 12-year-old girl!
As for children at the actual Academy Awards, I honestly feel like Academy Awards are for adults.
Yeah.
I feel like trying to pit a child against adults. One, like I said, child actors are generally just never going to have the same level of training and experience as an adult because they're 12.
And also that is an extreme level of recognition that probably isn't good for a kid.
Yeah. Yeah, you're gonna have so, like, it's a stressful situation with so many, like, you know, cameras and people and so much attention, and you're never gonna be able to come down from that. And I mean that, just, you're gonna have those people following you for the rest of your life. Obviously, if you're big enough to have gone to the Academy Awards, you're probably gonna have people following you for the rest of your life. And two, the likelihood of you winning at that young is already unlikely, but, like, imagine being that young, going to the Academy Awards, and losing.
Depends how young. Because if I think I was, like, 13, I would be like, well, I'm still nominated. Like, that's still super cool. But I think there have been, like, 7-year-old nominees before. Yeah. That would be crushing.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking because it's, like, I think when you're that young, it's hard to rationalize in your mind
that a nomination is already a big deal.
Yeah. Even, you know... Let's hope the parents are supportive and not... Let's just assume it's supportive parents. Let's hope there's no
Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah. Like, let's just assume it's supportive parents and you're doing it, you know, because you really just got determined to act and whatnot. All of that good stuff. It's a great vibe. You know, so your parents sit you down and are like, it's a great job that you got nominated and that is a huge deal. You're just... You're that young, you're gonna see it as... But you lost. But even though you're 7, you're getting... 1, you got nominated for an Academy Award. Huge deal. And 2,
You're seven.
And, you know, the person you lost to is probably a real adult who has had many, many years, like, you know, 3-4 times your lifespan, mm-hmm. Years of training to do what you have done.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's...
Blue Ivy having a Grammy is so funny, though. Beyonce's daughter.
Ah.
Like, 9-year-old daughter.
That is interesting.
But I don't think she was actually there, and it was, like, a sample of her voice on one of Beyonce's songs. Mm. That one.
Yeah. You know what I find interesting? Sorry. I know we gotta wrap this up.
Yeah, this is just so interesting, though.
I find this really interesting. This is a segue to a different topic. I apologize. I just find... I want to bring this up real quick, and then we can wrap this up.
All right.
The Vanity Fair after party. You know what I read about it?
What?
That basically, even for, like, A-list celebrities, it is near impossible to get into unless you show up with an Oscar in your hand.
Interesting. That's crazy. That's weird. I don't like that.
Yeah. Like, they were talking about... I saw a thing that was talking about, like, you know, Oscars behind-the-scenes facts, and it was talking about how... as hard as the Oscars are to get into, the Vanity Fair party is basically one of the hardest events for even the biggest celebrities to get into.
Mm-hmm.
That unless you're showing up Oscar in hand.
What if you're like Robert Downey Jr.?
Okay. Like,
you need to be an A-plus celebrity, yeah, or have,
like,
an Oscar
in hand. You gotta be like a celebrity or Oscar.
Yeah, you know, like an A-plus celebrity, not just A-list, A-plus list.
Yeah, you gotta show up with your Oscar. You know, I saw one of the news channels I was watching last night was kind of, I don't want to say, like, giving Billie Eilish crap, because it was very lighthearted, but, like, you know, they were joking about how Billie Eilish didn't want to put her Oscar down even at the party afterwards.
I wouldn't.
And, yeah, I would be hugging. Yeah, and, you know, they're interviewing her, and she's like, it's getting kind of heavy, but I'm not setting it down. And I was watching that, and I read the thing about how, like, you show up with your Oscar in hand at the party,
uh-huh.
And I was like, yeah, you do, apparently.
That's wild.
But then I read that, and then I saw the pictures of Renee Rapp and her girlfriend. Side note, apparently Renee Rapp is, in fact, dating the guitarist in her band that plays at her shows. Which,
uh-oh,
I find really funny.
Uh-oh, Fleetwood Mac.
No, but have you seen the videos of them? Like, go look it up.
This is your
DSS homework. Okay. More DSS homework for you. Go look up the videos of Renee Rapp and her guitarist at mm-hmm. her shows. It's so funny because they only hard launched at the Oscars this weekend, but
there's tension.
It's insane.
What do you mean?
Like, Renee Rapp would reach over and play her guitar level tension. Like, it's insane. And so...
Like, get behind her and play the guitar?
Yeah, okay. Like, it was like...
Well, a lot of bands do that.
Yeah, but, like, it was... The tension there was crazy.
Okay.
So everyone was like, they need to be dating. Like, they were, like, it was a ship already. Mm-hmm. And then they hard launched at the Oscars. At the Vanity Fair party. And Renee Rapp just was attending the Oscars, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she didn't... She's not... a movie star. She's just a singer.
Yeah,
or no,
she's just starting.
Girls,
in, she's just starting yeah. in movies, though. She's just getting her feet.
Yeah,
over.
Like, you know, she was Broadway,
and Sex Lives of College Girls. I've been meaning to watch it.
It is really good. She's done a little bit of Broadway. She's done a little bit of TV with Sex Lives of College Girls. She's just getting in movies, but she's mostly a singer. You know, she's really taking off as a singing career.
Mm-hmm.
So
and a being hot career.
She's so hot.
I 100% understand, not really for me, but she is gorgeous. I'm not gonna say she's not.
Yeah.
And I see everyone thinking that and saying that in various ways.
Yeah. Yeah, but her singing career is really, I think, her focus right talented. Now. She is very talented.
Yeah, she kills it.
Well, thank you all for listening. This will probably be my train adventure editing this.
Party. All right. Yeah, good luck. Okay, it was good to talk to you guys this month.
Thank you all for listening. I've been Lilia.
Yay!
What?
Thank you all for listening to our 10th episode since our return and 15th overall.
I've been Lilia.
I've been Eleanor.
Bye.